Well, thank you, Robert, for that most kind introduction. And I also want to congratulate you on building one of the most successful franchises in National Football League. I admire your organization. Also want to thank Peter Rollins and Boston College for inviting me to speak today. And I want to thank the mayor who arranged the weather. Now that we know who controls the weather, there's some commodity traders that want a direct line. Massachusetts might seem a bit of an unlikely place for an oil and gas executive from Texas to speak, but I gladly accepted Peter's invitation because I feel it is important for our industry to engage the communities and the industries represented here as part of a national dialogue about the future of energy. That's because the future of energy is a concern not just of my industry, but of all sectors of our economy. Reliable and affordable energy supplies are vital to the continued prosperity of our nation. And it is a future in which we all play a role in shaping, not only through the business community's traditional support for innovation, efficiency, free trade and investment, but also through the promotion of education and human capital development, a subject I'm going to return to later. During the past year, the National Energy Dialogue on our energy future has intensified, driven by concerns about fluctuating fuel prices, energy security, and climate change. This dialogue is welcome because the issues are important, but it can only be constructive if there is a clear understanding of the challenges involved in securing the type of energy future that we all want, one that supports economic progress, enhances social development, and protects our environment for future generations. By the year 2030, less than 25 years from now, the world's energy needs will be almost 50% greater than they were last year, driven mostly by economic growth in the developing part of the world. Such growing demand for energy reflects a growing demand worldwide for escaping poverty, attaining higher standards of living, and achieving greater prosperity. Energy use correlates directly with economic development, and in the hierarchy of human needs, energy ranks very high. An immense industry is required to meet the world's energy needs. The sheer scale of the global energy industry is often difficult for most to grasp, but it must be grasped to effectively understand how the application of new technologies or the implementation of new policies might impact it and ultimately the consumers of energy. Every day, consumers around the globe use 230 million barrels of energy, measured in oil equivalent terms, from all sources of energy. Oil alone is consumed at a rate of 40,000 gallons a second. Put another way, and the time it's going to take me to deliver these brief remarks, people around the world will have used over 50 million gallons of oil. To give you another perspective on the size of our industry, as you've heard, ExxonMobil is the largest non-government energy company, and we have the largest market capitalization of any corporation in the world. Yet we produce no more than 2% of the world's total energy. Enabling industry to meet the world's rapidly growing and varied energy needs is an immense global market, and it is the essence of the challenge we face in the future, just the sheer enormity of it. It carries with it additional challenges. Energy security is one of those. The gap between U.S. energy consumption and domestic energy production, a gap on the order of 15 million barrels of oil equivalent a day, or about 30% of our total demand, is filled primarily with imports of fossil fuels. Which countries are the source of these imports? Do any of these have the power to control supplies or prices? And are energy trade channels and import infrastructure secure? These are all important questions. Another challenge inherent to energy is the environmental impact of its use. The industry has made tremendous strides in developing cleaner fuels and lower emissions over the years to meet rising environmental expectations. But no energy source of sufficient scale to meet global needs comes without consequences. How do we manage the inevitable environmental impacts of increased energy use? This, too, is an important question. With this understanding of the importance, the scale, and the complexity of the challenges before us, we can better answer those questions that have emerged and those that are still submerged in the national dialogue about our future energy policy. Many question whether sufficient oil remains to meet our needs. Some worry that we will soon reach peak oil, or the point after which worldwide production begins to decline. Oil, like all fossil fuels, is indeed finite, but it is far from finished. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates that approximately 2 trillion barrels of conventional oil resources remain. That's about twice the amount of oil that has been produced since the dawn of time. An additional 1 trillion barrels of unconventional oil resources, such as heavy oil, oil sands, and other related, are also believed to be recoverable. And don't forget, too, that our industry's extraordinary track record of using technology to expand the resource base beyond predictions is well established. Fossil fuels are not the only energy resource, of course. Alternative sources play an important and growing role in meeting the world's needs, too. Some, such as wind and solar, are likely to see double-digit growth rates over the next 25 years, due in large part to government mandates and subsidies. I expect that some of you here are involved either directly or indirectly in alternative energy ventures. However, these alternatives build upon a relatively small base, and as I mentioned earlier, are expanding within a world energy system that is itself expanding significantly. For this reason, they will not fundamentally change the world energy mix, despite their impressive growth. Challenges of scale, cost, and technical limitation must be overcome if they are to contribute in a material way. Several energy companies, including ExxonMobil, are supporting research and development into ways for alternatives to overcome these significant hurdles. But until breakthroughs are achieved and implemented worldwide, fossil fuels will remain the predominant energy force for the foreseeable future. No other energy source holds the same advantages of availability, affordability, and adaptability. So the real question is not whether we will soon reach peak oil, but whether we can reach peak performance in the responsible production and use of oil and other fossil fuels. The answer to that question is as much a matter of policy as it is of geology. If policymakers enable investment, technology, and the managerial expertise found in the industry to be brought to bear on the available resources, we can produce, refine, and deliver the energy we need in an economic and environmentally responsible way. A second question dominating much of the current national dialogue touches upon the issue of energy security. Can Americans achieve so-called energy independence? As I mentioned earlier, the current energy demand, domestic supply gap in the United States is about 15 million barrels a day. More efficient use of energy can reduce demand, and increased use of alternatives can increase domestic energy supply. But no conceivable combination of the two can realistically close that gap. To leave the gap unfilled will have dire consequences for our economy and possibly our security. It would jeopardize the American dream for our children. But if energy independence is not a viable path to greater energy security, energy diversification is. As the investment bankers and fund managers in this room would attest, the best hedge against market risk is a diversified portfolio. The same holds true for our nation's energy supply portfolio. More energy from more sources mitigates the impact from a downturn in any one supplying country or region. Our experience during the hurricanes of 2005 proved the point. With as much as 25% of U.S. refining capacity shut down in the aftermath of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, an influx of fuel imports from Europe helped meet the shortfall, and there were no supply interruptions across the country. Diversification enabled by free markets strengthens our energy security. And free trade and investment are enabling the diversification of U.S. energy supplies. Currently, Americans import crude oil from over 30 countries on 6 continents. and are importing more from different sources every day. About 55% of U.S. oil supplies originate in North America. No other region, including the Middle East, meets more than 15% of U.S. oil needs. It may surprise some to learn that the United States imports more oil from Mexico than we do from Saudi Arabia. What about biofuels, like ethanol? Could domestic production of these sources enable Americans to achieve energy independence? This question has also captured the popular imagination, and Brazil's success in reducing oil imports in part has provided that inspiration. Biofuels, like many alternative sources, play an important role, but they too currently face significant obstacles. In the United States, corn is the principal source of ethanol. Currently, 13% of the U.S. corn crop is needed to meet 2% of the U.S. total gasoline demand by equivalent volume. By the year 2012, mandated ethanol production by the Congress will drive ethanol's share of total U.S. gasoline demand to 3%. But to achieve this, about 21% of the U.S. corn crop will be needed, an increase of about 50%. So watch the price of your cornflakes in the future. As these trends indicate, we cannot produce enough ethanol from corn in this country to meet all of this country's gasoline needs, much less its total oil needs. Brazil is an interesting case in point. Ethanol production in that country has been on the rise for the last 25 years, in part because its principal feedstock, sugarcane, has a higher yield and a lower cost per gallon of ethanol than corn. Brazil now produces the same amount of ethanol as the United States does for a gasoline market in Brazil that is 1/20th the size of the United States. But what is not often discussed is that while Brazil has boosted ethanol production by 3- to 4-fold over the past 25 years, it has substantially boosted its domestic oil production by more than 10-fold. So they became energy independent by developing their own domestic oil resources. In fact, about 85% of Brazil's current liquid fuel needs are met by domestic oil production, and 15% by domestic ethanol production. Which brings me to a fourth question I'm often asked. Can we boost oil production in this country? The United States is a mature oil province, meaning a sizable portion of the petroleum found here has already been tapped. But a sizable portion has not. In fact, the United States was endowed with the second largest oil resource base in the world. And even after more than a century of development and production, we are still ranked number 5 in remaining oil and natural gas resources in the world. These domestic resources currently meet about half of our domestic demand, but they could supply more if more of it were opened to exploration, development, and production. Federal and state governments in this country have ruled off limits an estimated 31 billion barrels of recoverable oil and 105 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And the majority of these amounts are not found in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They are found in the Rockies and off many of the coasts of the continental United States. Industry has developed the technologies and acquired the experience to produce these resources safely and with a minimal environmental imprint, and we're doing it in every other country around the world today. What we lack is the permission to access them. Access granted could lead to imports reduced. In addition to access, we need to continue developing the technologies to produce, refine, and deliver hydrocarbon resources in an effective, economic, and environmentally responsible way. The question, how do we advance energy innovation, goes to the heart of our energy future. In the discussion about technology in our industry, two things surprised me. First, some today claim that the era of easy oil is over. It is true that today oil is not easy. But over my 32 years, it's never been easy. Changing conditions, growing demand, and evolving environmental expectations have always required our industry to operate at the edge of new technology and to continuously innovate to meet those challenges. Oil only seems easy after it's been discovered, developed, and delivered. The second surprise to me is the perception that the energy industry is not particularly high-tech. ExxonMobil topped the Fortune 500 list of the U.S. companies last year. We invested more than $1 billion in technology applications and R&D, and we currently employ over 14,000 scientists and engineers. Nevertheless, the magazine does not categorize us or any other oil or gas company as a technology company, like it does many pharmaceutical, computer, and airplane manufacturers. Perhaps it's because our most well-known product, gasoline, appears simple when compared to a cell phone or a flat-screen TV. Even the term fossil fuel sounds sort of primitive. But the fact is, the energy business is an extraordinarily technology-intensive enterprise, from the wellhead to the gas pump. Innovations have enabled us to overcome incredible obstacles to deliver a product that seems so simple and relatively unchanged for decades. In Russia's Far East, for example, we have been using leading-edge directional drilling technology to reach oil and gas reserves that are 1 mile deep and 6 miles laterally. That's about the distance from this ballroom to Boston College, with the precision to hit a target with a drill bit about this big, the size of those doors at the back of the room. Offshore West Africa, we use floating drilling vessels to drill in waters almost 4,000 feet deep, and we produce to massive floating production and storage units offshore. And at our refineries, we're using nanocatalysis to manage hydrocarbon molecules and remove impurities from our products. Technologies such as these have helped us dramatically reduce emissions from the use of our fuels. A new car running today on new low-sulfur diesel fuel and equipped with the most advanced emissions technology has 97% fewer emissions than a new car in 1970. Our industry can and will continue achieving such technological feats and continue making oil look easy, even though it is not. Under the right conditions and sustained by sensible policies, conditions and policies, which I'll return to in a moment. For all the technological progress we have achieved in the energy field, we have yet to discover or develop a perfect energy source that meets the world's enormous needs with no environmental impacts. There simply are no silver bullets to the energy environment challenge. This is a reality we dare not ignore and one we must not mismanage. This is especially true when it comes to the issue of climate change. While our scientific understanding of climate change continues to improve, it nonetheless remains today an extraordinarily complex area of scientific study. Having said that, the potential risk to society could prove to be significant. So despite the areas of uncertainty that do exist, it is prudent to develop and implement strategies that address the potential risk. In my view, this means we should continue to fund ongoing scientific research without conditioned or preconceived outcomes to increase our understanding of all of the forcings which are a part of this very elegant but very complex climate system in which we live, including ongoing study of not only the possible forcing effects resulting from mankind's socioeconomic activity, but equally, if not more important, a better understanding of the natural forcing elements that are and have been a part of the climate system since the dawn of time. While the science community continues their study, we should pursue public policies that start gradually and learn along the way with full recognition of the economic consequences of certain actions. And we should bring all countries into the effort. This is a global-wide, century-scale problem. 85% of the future growth in CO2 emissions will come from the developing world, only 15% from the developed economies. We should start on a path to reduce the likelihood of the worst outcomes and understand the context of managing carbon emissions among other developing world priorities, such as economic development, poverty eradication, and public health. Consistent with this approach, we should take steps now to reduce emissions in an effective and meaningful way. Improving the fuel economy of our light-duty vehicle fleet is one such way. Reducing emissions from coal-fired power plants must also be a priority, as worldwide carbon dioxide emissions from power generation are currently more than four times that of the light-duty transportation sector. The important point is that a variety of ways exist to mitigate carbon dioxide emissions, but weighing the options effectively requires understanding the potential scale, cost, and economic and quality of life trade-offs. As we take steps today, we must also take steps tomorrow through research and development into new technologies that could literally change the energy game. ExxonMobil, through its longtime relationships with manufacturers of automotive and commercial industrial engines, has ongoing promising research and development activities that could lead to improvements in the conventional internal combustion engine, leading to 30% improvement in fuel economy and associated reductions in emissions. The Global Climate and Energy Project, based at Stanford University, epitomizes the approach to exploring game-changing technologies. By accelerating research into promising new energy technologies with economic and environmental potential on a worldwide scale, scientists at GCEP are progressing towards breakthroughs that could lead to meaningful worldwide emissions reductions. GCEP scientists are researching how hydrogen and solar energy can be made economic, how engine and fuel systems can be made significantly more efficient, how carbon dioxide capture and storage can be made effective, and how biofuels can be made more abundant. ExxonMobil is proud to serve as the lead founding sponsor for GCEP's groundbreaking work. Questions of peak oil, energy independence, biofuel potential, access to resources, technological innovation, and climate change are defining our nation's energy dialogue. A fact-based understanding about the global energy challenge and the industry, my industry, that provides energy to the world is an absolute necessity to any consideration of an appropriate long-term energy policy. Wishful thinking will only lead us further away from the long-term solution. It is not enough to ask and answer, however, we also must act, and it is the actions of policymakers that can have the greatest impact in shaping our shared energy future, because they create the legal and the regulatory framework in which multi-billion dollar investment decisions must be taken. Policies that promote free markets and investment and strengthen export-import partnerships broaden the diversification of our nation's energy portfolio and enhance our energy security. Policies that promote stable tax, regulatory, and legal frameworks over the long term encourage the investments needed to not only meet current needs, but also the technological advances required to meet future needs while reducing environmental impacts. Policies that promote open access to untapped oil and natural gas resources in our country can help reduce our dependence on imports in an effective and environmentally sensitive way. Ours is the only country in the world with major oil and natural gas resources that, as a matter of policy, denies its own citizens the economic benefits of developing and utilizing the energy resources that belong to them. The solutions to the energy challenges we face will come from this generation's scientists, engineers, managers, and policymakers, and the next. Policies that promote math and science education and provide visas for international students to study in this country are necessary to ensure the human intellect required is available and resident in this country. As a former congressman from Boston named John Kennedy once said, our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education. The human mind is our fundamental resource. We're not doing enough in this country to develop this most vital resource, which is so fundamental to developing our natural resources. American students' performance in math and science is shockingly poor by standards of most industrialized nations, and this bodes poorly for our future competitiveness and prosperity. To reverse this trend, we must invest more in math and science education. ExxonMobil is doing so, contributing over $42 million in proven programs nationwide last year, and we intend to contribute even more in the years to come. Such investments have the power to not only produce new technologies, but also the power to produce better informed citizens, policymakers, and future leaders. Unless others join us in taking action in support of this cause, not only is our energy future in doubt, but our nation's continued economic leadership is threatened. Our nation's educational needs are not limited to science and math. It is important that policymakers and the public at large become educated about the nature of the energy challenge, the workings of the energy industry, and the mechanics of the energy markets. The most productive public dialogues are those informed by facts. All of us in the business community can and should help promote this informed dialogue. And if we do so, I'm confident we can reach a destination, the one we seek, one where our economy is more competitive, our nation is more secure, and our world is more prosperous. Thank you for your kind attention.